ABC Radio Australia.
Turning our attention to Fiji now, where former Attorney General Graham Leong has broken his silence over a commission of inquiry into the recruitment of Fiji's anti-corruption chief that led to his dismissal. Mr. Leong has rejected the report's findings, calling the process flawed, questioning its legal basis, and warning of the risk to rule of law. But just hours after he spoke, Fiji's government released a redacted version of the report online. Well, joining us this morning is ABC's Fiji correspondent, Lide Mbavono. Lide, Yandra.
Yandra Vinaka, Agnes.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Look, you were at the press conference. What actually stood out about Graham Leong's, I suppose, tone and main message?
Aggie, first of all, the room was quite packed. That was a press conference that was quite unusual, not just because there were, you know, people there to support him, but there were senior editors and journalists from, you know, just about every newsroom in Fiji. So people were paying attention to what former Attorney General Graham Leong had to say. But what stood out immediately for me was how calm and resolute Graham Leong was. There were, you know, there were no theatrics, no emotions. He was very measured and very firm in putting the message that he was rejecting the commission's findings. And his key message is that the inquiry failed him, both legally and ethically, but also that they were failing the people of Fiji, and that the process of the commission of inquiry is not one that you expect in a country that claims to follow the rule of law. And he said that he was never given a chance to respond properly before the COI was leaked all over the place on the internet, and he hadn't received anything at the time that the press conference happened yesterday morning, Aggie. And this is what he had to say.
I've had to go through the internet to discover the crimes that I'm supposed to have committed. I have yet to see the official transcripts. I'm not able to verify or to test or to check what was said by all the witnesses and why the commissioner reached the findings that he did in relation to me. Do you think this is justice? Do you think this is the rule of law?
So just to clarify then, Lide, what exactly is Leong accused of, and how does he explain his role in the FICAC appointment?
So basically, he's accused of failing to object to the appointment of then FICAC Commissioner Barbara Malimali. The commission is implying that because he didn't, you know, make a stronger effort to stop the appointment, that he basically allowed a flawed or a questionable process to proceed. But Leong says that there's a big misunderstanding of the law in relation to the authority that he had at the time as Attorney General. He says that, you know, under Section 5 of the FICAC Act, the act that, you know, legislates our anti-corruption body here, the Attorney General is only consulted, not, you know, he doesn't have the authority to approve or disapprove. And even that consultation process, it doesn't decide the outcome of that recruitment process. And even if he had taken his time, or if he hadn't responded at all, the recruitment process would have continued, would have happened anyway. He said the Judicial Services Commission, which is the body that, you know, hires and fires judicial appointments like the FICAC boss, all they needed to show is that they had consulted, and that would have satisfied the requirements of the law. And he said he was consulted, he read the CV, he had some issues, he checked up on it and had no objections. And all he did was put his signature to a form that was, you know, pre-filled. So he said that there was no abuse of office there, and that he could not even have either rejected or actually influenced that process in any real substantial way, Agnes.
I want to emphatically reject any suggestion that by not raising an objection to the Judicial Services Commission's recommendation, somehow by not objecting to the JSC's recommendation, the commission seems to consider that I failed in my legal responsibility, or that I committed a crime, or that I obstructed justice, or that I even interfered with the proper process of law. I reject those findings.
Well, look, he was clearly dissatisfied with how the commission handled the matter. What were his main criticisms of the process?
His biggest issue was fairness, is what he said. He said that the commission never gave him a chance after his initial testimony to clarify any part of his evidence or to respond to, you know, the commission's concerns. He said there were no follow-up questions. He was never given a transcript to look back on, didn't get an official copy of the final report, although it was leaked online, you know, by other witnesses in that commission of inquiry process. So from his perspective, the commission came to their conclusions very quickly without properly testing the evidence or giving him a right of reply, which is something that he said, you know, should have been a fundamental part of the way they did their work. And so he said that they came to a conclusion and went ahead with it without giving him the opportunity to defend himself.
Leather, did he indicate whether he's taking further action, you know, legally or politically? Because what did he say about the constitution and where Fiji could go from here?
That was a question that I think was on everyone's mind. And then the Fiji Times did ask that during the press conference, to which he said that unlike other people named in the Commission of Inquiry report, his position was at the prerogative of the Prime Minister. So he was basically, you know, serving at the pleasure of the Prime Minister. And so the Prime Minister had the prerogative to hire and fire him as he saw fit. And that he respected that. He respected, I think the term he used was constitutional prerogative. And so he would not be testing the dismissal in court, that he was not going to use the law to challenge the Prime Minister's right to fire him, which he did via text, interestingly. But one thing that he made clear, Agnes, and you know, he spoke about for a bit, is that a lot of what happened with this particular incident of the constitution, sorry, of the COI, is stemming from weaknesses in the 2013 constitution. So he made it clear that he would stand by and support a legal challenge to the 2013 constitution. And he used his personal experience as an example of what's wrong with the current system, that there's too much power in specific places. And that's what makes accountability difficult. So he says, real reform won't happen until Fiji adopts a new constitution that's drafted by the people through an inclusive democratic process. So, you know, that told us the man is going to be part of constitutional reform in the future, Agnes.
Yeah, still so much to unpack there, Lede. But look, that's all the time that we have. But we do appreciate you coming through and keeping us across the situation. Vinaka.
Malo, vinaka valevu.
That was ABC's reporter in Fiji, Lede Mavono, here on Pacific Beat.